There are times when you have to fold your sleeves and like, okay, let's go ahead with shoes fight. Do you understand? But that's how it is. It's very difficult to define that. And the ones that are very reliable, because one of the things that my business is known for is that we are reliable. So when we give a client this time, that is what it has to be.
Hi everyone, my name is Soji Akinabi. I'm a serial entrepreneur and also a storyteller. Today I am having a chat with Mr. Nelson Osiri. He's a gospel artist, but of course, like many gospel artists that I've seen, he also has a side business. And his side business is called Dream Apparel. He will tell us more about what Dream Apparel is about. And some gospel artists that I've spoken to, what inspired him to start such a business? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
Thank you for joining me.
Same here.
Okay, all right. Dream Apparel. Before we get into Dream Apparel, who are you?
Very good question.
Yeah?
So my name is Nelson Osiri. I'm the founder and CEO of Dream Apparel.
Okay. I like the way you just went straight to the business. You decided to just cut out some other parts. But it's okay. It's okay.
I like low profile.
Low profile is good. I mean, I understand that because of our conversation today will be about your entrepreneurial activities around Dream Apparel.
Yes.
When did they start and why?
Okay. So we started 2020.
Okay. 5 years.
Officially, officially 2020. But I mean, before that time, we're doing our trial and all of this, you know, all of that. But I think we officially launched 2020.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and what inspired it was the fact that we actually saw a need in the society, in our world of today, because, you know, it's funny how people just think that you necessarily like have to expose your body to look beautiful.
That's true.
You know, but we are saying to you, or we are selling to you that no, you could actually look very, you look very fine, decently
covering up.
You know, so that's the whole idea of the brand.
Decency and stylish.
And stylish. You know, so we focus more on decency, simplicity, you know, and all of that. So it's like, oh yeah, you could actually look beautiful just by covering up without having to expose your body and all of that.
I see.
So that's how we started. And yeah.
Okay. So were you already an artist?
Before this time?
Before you started the business?
Okay. I've always been a music minister.
Okay. Now you changed the word.
I've always been a music minister.
Okay.
Even before that time. And, you know, that was also part of,
the inspiration.
The inspiration.
Right? Okay.
You know, because, that was part of the inspiration, because I also needed, before that time, I was working under people. I'd worked for several organizations, you know. But then I just needed something. I knew that this was something I needed to do.
Okay.
And it would also, you know, help me have time to do the primary thing that I'm called to do, which is the ministry as well. So, yeah.
Okay. I mean, so we are beginning to see businesses built around specific mission. I'm not saying as an NGO, because again, when we think of sometimes mission-focused or mission-driven organization, we mostly think of NGO, but in this case, still a commercial entity, but mission focused. You know? And of course, in this case, your core vision or mission is again decency and stylish. Correct?
Yeah, correct.
Decency becomes a core pillar.
Yeah.
And why? How big do you think the market is for a business like yours that is championing or driving a particular mission of course decency within the fashion industry?
Yeah, it's actually a very big market, right? But you know, yes, it's pointing to a specific kind of people,
okay,
which is the Christians,
okay,
right? You know, but there are also non-Christians who love to be decently dressed,
okay,
you know. So yeah, so it's a very big market. Fashion is actually a very big, yeah, and broad market.
So I don't have to be a Christian to patronize.
No, you don't have to.
Okay, because that part is also quite important to clarify.
You don't have to.
You're not so much driving a religious agenda. No. You are driving a mission.
Yes.
Okay, because it's also quite important to clarify that. And I think I quite agree with you. Yeah. It's a big market,
yeah,
sub-market within the fashion industry.
Yeah.
So that's fine. In the last 3 years, how would you describe the business? Where were you 3 years ago and where are you now?
I mean, in terms of physical space or...
No, just generally the business.
Okay, yeah. So, well, we've grown.
Okay.
I mean, the way we started is not the way we are right now,
yes,
basically. So right now we have, I mean, we're talking about like we have staffs. Then it was just me and all of that. But right now there are a couple of persons that we are paying salary to and all of that. And the clientele as well has also increased.
Okay.
Because it's a wholesale and a retail business.
I see.
Yes.
Wholesale, so, okay.
Yeah, it's a wholesale and retail business because we are actually not just focusing on individuals.
Okay.
We're also looking forward to working with brands.
Okay.
You know, we're already working with some brands.
Okay.
And right now, we're also looking at how we can expand to work with people who also want to start fashion brands.
Okay.
And then, so we could actually make production for you.
Okay.
And then you just sell for your customers.
Okay.
So yeah, we've made progress since that time.
Okay.
You know, so for the past 3 years, we've been focusing more on the retail part of the business.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So, and I think there's also a point you brought out. You do both design and production.
Yes.
So that's why you're able to offer production service to other fashion
brands. Other fashion brands, yes.
So where do you produce from?
Our space in Yaba.
In Nigeria?
Yeah, Nigeria.
Okay, it's important to kind of like clarify.
Clarify this place because today is China.
Because people...
For now, we do.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I was in the mall and I entered into a store. And they sell shoes, you know, footwear. And of course, quite good. The leather, nice. The design, good. Very clean. You know, pay attention to detail. And I asked, I haven't seen this brand before. Is it a local brand? Mm. The person said, yes. But no, okay. I say, okay, now you've confused yourself and not me. So, but what the person was trying to say is that they actually design locally, but they subcontract manufacturing to some other vendor in Italy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand. So we have people doing that also when it comes to opera,
yeah,
you know, which is also within the fashion industry, not just footwear.
Yeah.
So that's why that clarification is important. And I think also that probably save you a lot of things in terms of import duty and all that.
Yes.
But again, your fabrics, you get them locally, are they local fabrics?
Is it that particular side you want to go to right now? An area of fabric, you know, that's something that we are actually working on, because all the challenges that we have in the market is you go to the market to buy a particular fabric,
yeah,
you know, say you want to do like maybe a few samples and few copies here and there,
yeah,
and then you go back, you don't find that exact type of fabric anymore.
Okay, so
that's like a major challenge, you know, that we face, you know. And so what we decided to do is to maybe like partner with some other brands abroad.
Okay.
So we can actually get those fabrics there.
You distribute.
So, and then, you know, bring them here. So, because most times we have companies like brands that will tell us, okay, they want the particular thing. And, you know, in our proposal and our invoice, we always let them know, you have to get back to us in less than 7 days.
Yeah.
So that we can secure this fabric.
I see.
Because, you know, especially with the area of cotton, like this type of cotton that I'm putting on right now,
yeah,
it's very difficult to find. If you can go and buy one and you go back, you don't find the same thing again. But when it comes to jersey fabrics, you know, that's the one that most times we mostly are available in the market. So we recommend that for brands, for companies that want to produce for stars. That's the one that we recommend more because the quality is constant, it's consistent. you go back, you find the same thing color-wise and all of that. Yeah. So, but with area of cutting, it's not the same.
Quite interesting. If I look at it right now, see the scope of your business as probably has expanded since when you started.
Yeah.
You've moved from just designing and manufacturing for yourself.
Yeah.
Now to manufacturing for others.
Yeah.
And you're probably going into fabrics distribution right now.
Yeah.
Okay. That's really, really good. On a typical quarter, how many clients would you say you service?
Well, there are actually like a lot of few clients that we service, you know, what based on my record that I can look at.
Yeah.
I would say less than 100.
Okay.
Less than 100, you know, like this is like, because they're just everywhere.
Yes.
Yeah, just everywhere.
Across different categories.
Yeah, across the countries, across different categories, across, like, they're just everywhere. And so, like, that's the combination of both the ones that we do wholesale for and the retail.
And the retail.
So,
where is the bulk of the money? Wholesale?
It's actually in wholesale.
Okay.
Because you have...
I mean, that is targeted to brands?
Yes, brands.
Not retail clients.
Yes,
okay.
Yes. So, for retail, we get our money more when we do, like... maybe for bespoke wares.
I see.
And then maybe our collections, because we have like different collections from time to time, like, you know, there's one that we released during the October 1st.
I see.
You know, there's a bead collection, so it has to do with like some Afrocentric patterns or prints.
I see.
There is also like Stay Warm collection. So Stay Warm collection has to do with like very good cardigans.
You're already
wear.
In a warm climate.
Exactly.
But you want warm.
No, now, there are times when the climate changes, like, and then it's cold. So you
is
want to
ever?
Yes, actually. And you know, our clientele is beyond just Nigeria. So
okay,
we also look at so it's beyond Nigeria. But it's beyond Nigeria.
I don't think it's ever.
I don't know. It's beyond Nigeria. So, and that's something that has been so, and we try to be consistent with, you know, of repeating those collections rather than just put it out there and then it's gone. So we try to repeat them every year.
Yeah.
You know, that particular season, we just push it back out again, that this is what we're doing. So these are the new ones available and all of that. So yeah, it's been actually amazing. It's an amazing journey, like I must say.
Yeah.
Comes with its ups and downs, but
I actually like how your business has evolved, because you know it also shows that you are a very strategic person, because I see the different, you know, branches that you have brought together in terms of, you know, playing within this space. So congrats on that.
Thank you so much.
Apart from the what you've said, what are other areas of growth that you've identified? Apart from you mentioned fabrics distribution, which I think is very fantastic.
Yeah.
But of course, obviously, you would need working capital for that.
Yeah. So, serious capital. Serious capital. I'm telling you, because it's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a whole lot. Yeah. In fact, I just spoke to someone from China recently, and I'm trying to say, okay, so how do we, even down to the plain tees. So, one of the things that we also do is that we empower other brands, like other guys I want to start up like maybe your clothing brand and maybe like they are just about branding. So as it is right now as a company, we spend more money on purchasing plain tees from other brands. Is it that we are maybe importing, or we are buying from existing
local
brands?
So you could distribute such plain tees.
Do you understand? So and then so imagine getting a contract of over 10 million and then you are spending 7 million on that. So now we are trying to say, okay, so we have to cut
you
all
have
of that
to, yeah
so we can take back this money. You know, so that's why we are now looking at, okay, about we have to see how we can outsource this thing, get it cheaper somewhere else, and then we know that we are the ones distributing in Nigeria and in Lagos.
Isn't there a way to manufacture plain tees locally?
Yes there, but so the challenge is on that fabric that I spoke about earlier. So getting consistently the same quality, you know, so it can be very
tricky.
I'm one person that I can spend hours in the market looking for fabric. Not because they're not fabrics, they are fabrics, but there's something I'm looking for. So I take my time to find fabrics. I even go as far as, they know me in the market, I go as far as washing washing the fabric.
That's good.
To be sure that.
I mean, you pay attention.
I do.
That speaks to the quality.
Yes.
To the commitment to,
yes,
to quality.
So hardly do customers tell us, that particular thing you gave us is washing off. This is that. No. We don't get such kind of feedbacks.
Mm. I think there is a massive opportunity for you in the fabric space. So you need to do it strategically. I always tell people, when you're trying to expand your business, don't focus on expansion to the detriment of the survival of the business. Mm. So in the case of fabrics, playing within the fabric distribution, obviously we identify that it's going to be capital intensive.
Yeah.
Do not overplay your hand in that, and when you're trying to do that. Obviously, we can speak of camera in terms of how we can support on the funding side of things. But I think you need to identify off-takers as you're getting into it. Identify off-takers so that you don't sit on inventory by the time you make purchase. Also, identify partners who can, when you pay for something worth $2,000, they can give you something worth $5,000. With a commitment of you paying back as you sell.
Yeah, as you sell.
I know that there was a couple of companies, especially from India, that does that.
Yeah.
With local partners.
Nice.
Yeah. So identify that. I mean, there was a story where we were tracking of some manufacturer from India working with somebody in the north, supplying them certain things and all of that. Even from India, China as well, whatever country you're able to identify a suitable partner. So I think those are the things you need to pay attention to. Focus on, getting the fast moving one, you understand?
Yeah.
And also the ones that you also use, so you will be your first client. So, and as you go, just expand like that,
Fast moving one is T-shirt. Yeah. I already know my onions.
I agree with you.
I mean, people produce, if we tell you the number of T-shirts that people produce, talk more of when the election comes.
Oh my God. You're speaking the language.
Yes.
You understand it.
So yes,
personality of such.
A lot of work.
Fantastic. Tell me, what are some of the challenges that you're facing?
I already mentioned some, in the area of fabrics, but in the area of the internal challenges or struggles, I'd say it's in the area of managing tailors.
Okay.
It's a lot comes with that. Finding trustworthy tailors in this country, I don't know. those guys. There are times when you have to fold your sleeves and like, okay, let's why we should fight. Do you understand? But that's how it is. It's very difficult to find that. And the ones that are very reliable, because one of the things that my business is known for is that we are reliable. So when we give a client this time, that is what it has to be. A lot of times that we get a lot of constraints trying to push out a particular collection. There was a time we did the October 1st one that had the green and white features and all of that. So what happened was, because of capital, what the brand did was that we knew that making production of like a lot of that stuff would be like just tying money down. So what we did instead was, we rather than buy the fabrics and then make them, we took the fabric off the market.
Okay.
And then stored them.
Okay.
Made few copies.
Okay.
And then promoted those ones.
So you now make on request.
On request.
Fantastic.
Just so that we can cut all of that.
Fantastic.
So that can also be, because most big brands, what they do is they just go to the market. I mean, I've been in the market most, and I'm seeing certain people like Yomi, all they do is they just come, they touch this, touch that, give me. So they buy these things off in bundles and they keep them.
So when you now go
back. So when you go back, So for smaller brands like us, we don't have that kind of capital to do that all the time. You understand? So we just do small bids, here and there and all that. So that's one particular challenge that we have. And on that one that we have is in the area of is just finding trustworthy okay. guys and tailors to work with. Those guys, I don't know, like
yeah. You were talking about tailor actually specifically.
I've been through a lot.
You need to give your heart to Jesus.
I literally like ask them, like I'll be shocked if I get to heaven and I find a tailor. I don't want to know it. I don't. Like the kind of lie those guys tell, that's not how I like to live my life. You know, I like to be very transparent when it comes to my customers. So, but these guys can most times they will provoke you to do things and say things that you don't even want to say. So it's hard to find people like that. And every time personally, I try to see how that can be corrected. You know, so there is now the need for training.
For the tailors.
Mm. So yes, you have the skill, but then we have to now train you character-wise and all of that. So not every tailor out there have that character, you know, that you need for your business. So you have to like just train them, you know, making them see what it is that's beyond just my brand and my own dream. It is you. You have to form this character because you have a skill, but you need character to actually sustain that skill at the end of the day. You know, so
I guess there are fashion brands, especially tailor, that are kind of like also, you know, they have the same problem with tailor and other fans. And there have been ways that, you know, they've tried to just go about it. And one of the ways is training. So training is important. Yeah. I think not just technical training, but also soft skill training. And I think you also need to continuously creating pipeline of talent.
Okay.
So don't just, there is tendency to want to just go after the ones that already knows the job, but you can also kind of like train, you know, when you train, you have more allowances as to how long they will stay with you and they will understand your culture and your processes. I think you need to look into that. And the truth is that it's still in this country, talent is still a major problem, you know, even though we talk about unemployment.
Yeah.
But enough talent is still, there are plenty of people who still don't have the required talent that the industry require, you know. So human capital development becomes important. Talent pipeline, you need to create a talent pipeline. And of course, let that be core part of your strategy. Because again, if you don't have access to the right talent, it will affect your business. And as an investor, if I'm looking at investing, it's one of the major things I need to consider. Because without talented tailors, not just tailor, and sustainability plan as regards to how you're going to ensure a continuous availability of talented tailors, then it's going to be a major risk for the business. Yeah. So that's that. I mean, I'm excited about your business. I think you have a lot of prospect for growth. And I think also chatting to you, I see you're also a strategic person. So keep applying your mind to how you can push boundaries, you know, and grow the business. The opportunities are enormous. And I think you have whatever it takes to be able to capture the opportunities. And before we go, do you have any question for me?
What do I want to ask now? I didn't really think about any question, but
I want to ask you to do giveaway.
That's actually a good one. It's a good one. So we look forward to partnering, basically. Okay. You know, that's a good one. I'm very open to stuff like that. Once in a while, though, so you're not sent back to my village. But once in a while, I do that to push the brand.
Fantastic.
Push the brand, you know, yeah.
Yeah. Well, one last thing I want to say is also, you also need to look into storytelling to drive your business growth. I think storytelling now becomes very important to every brand and every business. There's always a way to do it to drive lead generation and market penetration. So you need to look into that. It doesn't cost much. It takes the place of paid advertising, you know. So yeah.
Okay.
All right, fantastic. Thank you so much. Dreams, I pray everybody is attentive. A round of applause.
We thank God.
All right. That's all that we have on this episode of Smart Growth. It's been nice chatting to the CEO, the founder and the CEO of Dreams Apparel. My name is Sajia Kalabi. See you in the next episode.
This video is brought to you by ACT Foundation.